I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a description that Jesus used here in the Sermon on the Mount. And as he's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, what he is doing is describing those who would be his disciples, those who would be part of his kingdom, who would be his followers. And one of the descriptions that he uses of them is that they would be as a city that is set on a hill. It says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." During these times, you would have cities that would be built on hills or raised areas because there were certain benefits for having a city placed in a location like that. And we'll talk about those as we go into this lesson. But Jesus said that his disciples are like this. "You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." There are benefits of being like this city on a hill, but there are also challenges that come by being like this city that is on the hill. So I want us to consider some things in this lesson that we can learn from this illustration that Jesus uses here about his disciples being a city that is set on a hill. So to begin with, we need to understand that there are certain characteristics that are true about a city that is going to be set up on a hill. Today in our culture, in our time, generally we don't think about these as being as important, but especially during that time period, these would have been more pronounced and more obvious to the people that Jesus was talking to on this occasion. What is it about a city that is set on a hill that makes it different from other cities and other towns? Well, number one, what makes it different, or what is a characteristic of these cities, is that this city is going to be highly visible. This is one that's going to be able to be seen from miles around. People will know when they're approaching the city, they will know where this city is because it is raised up and is elevated over the landscape, over the valleys, and over the other cities and towns that are around. People would see this city for miles around. Jesus told his disciples that you are going to be like the city that is set on a hill. You are going to be visible to others. If we're going to follow Christ, we need to not expect that we can just blend in with the world and not be noticed and people not pay attention to where we are or who we are. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about the fact that we give our bodies over as a living sacrifice. And as we do this, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. We are not conformed to the world, but we are transformed. And so we're going to be different. We're not going to blend in. We're not going to conform to this world. And the reason why is because we follow a higher standard. I mentioned that this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus is describing the characteristic of his followers. And in this, he's showing that we are going to follow a different standard. He begins with the Beatitudes and showing the character of those who would be his people. Verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," which means those who are humble, those who lower themselves. "Blessed are those who mourn over their sin and over the fact that they have failed God and not lived in a way that's pleasing to God. Those who are gentle," or those who are meek, "those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness." This is the type of people who are going to be the people of Christ. We're following a different standard from the world. We're following a higher standard. And this difference is going to be noticed. People are going to see the difference between us and those who are around us. Over in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus warned his apostles that this is going to be a difference between you and the world. People are going to see this difference. John 15, 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." The world sees this. The world sees the difference between the people who follow Christ and the people who don't, the people who are in the world. We are as a city that is set on a hill. We are highly visible to those who are around us. But another characteristic of a city that is set on a hill is that city is going to become the target of attacks. That while other cities may be attacked, other cities may fall, this is where a lot of military attention by the enemy is going to be placed upon this city. Because this city is highly visible. This city is following a different standard from what the enemy is following. This city is going to be a subject of attack. So Jesus, if you're still in John chapter 15, you look at verse 20, the next verse from where we read, and Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." If they were against Christ, if they refuse to follow Christ, if they reject his word, then we could expect that they are going to reject us as well, that they're going to be against us just as they were against him. And so this city that is set on a hill, it's going to be targeted by the enemy. And the scriptures warn us, the New Testament warns us, that we are going to be persecuted if we follow Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 that not to think that there's some strange thing happening because of the fiery ordeal that has come upon you. That don't think that this is something unusual. Don't think that this is strange. Don't think that you're doing something wrong because you're suffering or because you're targeted or because you're facing persecution. Usually the reason why you're facing persecution is because not you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing what is right. Because you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 that all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. So this city that is set on a hill, it's going to be visible for miles around. It's going to be the target of attacks. Yet, this city is in a position of strength. Why were cities built on a raised area or on a hill where they were elevated above others? Well, because it was more difficult for the enemy, for some opposing army, to take the city because they were having to attack from lower ground up into it and into that city. Much easier to attack a city that is in the plain or that is in the valley because you have a more strategic advantage when you are attacking them compared to a city that is set on a hill and you are moving upward trying to take that city. That city is in a position of strength. If we are followers of Christ, we are this city that is set on a hill, we are in a position of strength. Because we have God who is on our side. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? We talked about already, we are visible. We are seen by those around us because we follow a different standard. That standard is Christ and His Word. And that standard that we follow, Jesus explained it over in Matthew chapter 7 toward the end of this sermon, that this standard that we follow of His Word is one that provides us with a solid foundation. Verse 24 says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The difference between these two builders, one built his house on the rock and one built his house on the sand. The one who builds his house on the rock, this is the one who is following the words of Christ. He hears his words and he acts on them. He is being obedient. He's following that standard. That standard that makes us different. That standard that makes us stand out to the world around us. That is that solid foundation that we have built ourselves upon. That this city that is set on a hill, it's built on that solid foundation. That we have the words of Christ. We have the promise, as is stated in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, that God will not leave us, He will not forsake us. And again, the verse we mentioned, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. And so we have this position of strength because we are following Christ. We are following His words. So when Jesus talks about here, you are as this city that is set on a hill. City that is set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. It's visible. It's going to be targeted. But you are in a strong position because you are following Christ. You have His words. You have His promises. Now, these are the characteristics that we can recognize about these cities. However, Jesus said, you are a city that is set on a hill. It is possible that we could fail to take advantage of this position that we have, of being a city that is set on a hill. There are benefits to being this city, that we are highly visible, that we can see, that we can understand what is going on around us and recognize that we are in a position of strength. But we can also fail to take advantage of these benefits that come by being this city that is set on a hill. If we fail to take advantage of our position, then it is possible that the city can be lost. That the city can be surrendered. We already talked about there's going to be targets, that we're going to be targeted for attack. We can lose the city. We can surrender our position. Well, how would that happen? How is it that we could fail to take advantage of the benefits that we have as being the city that is set on a hill? Well, we talked about already, one of the characteristics is that this city on the hill is highly visible. It's going to be visible for miles around. People are going to see it. Well, one of the ways that we fail to take advantage of that position is by failing to shine as a light in the darkness. He mentions this in this context in Matthew chapter 5, that he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are this light as this city that is set on a hill. But when we think about the world that exists around us, we are in a world that is filled with darkness. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John says that we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. When Paul was writing to the brethren at Colossae, in Colossians 1:13, and describing how they were now part of the kingdom of Christ, he said that you have been rescued from the domain of darkness. The world is filled with darkness. So there's darkness all around us. And the city that is set on a hill, the only way that city is going to be visible, if there's darkness all around, is that city has lights shining in that city. And if we don't have those lights on, if we don't have those lights shining, then that city, it can be up on a hill, but it's not going to be visible. The darker that the world is around us, then the more invisible we become if we are failing to let our light shine. And conversely, the more brightly or more visible we will be if we let our light shine. But if we're not letting our light shine, then people are not going to see us, that we're not taking advantage of that position that we are in. Passage over in Romans chapter 2 talks about this idea of the people of God living in such a way that not only are they not an example to the world, but they're by their behavior causing the world to blaspheme God because of the behavior of the people of God. Here he's talking about the Jews and how the Jews as a whole had rejected the law of God. It says in verse 23 of Romans chapter 2, you who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. Same thing could be true of us. We can, by our behavior, cause the church to look bad. We can cause people to reject God and not want to have anything to do with Christ, not want to have anything to do with religion, because of our behavior, because of how we conduct ourselves. We fail to shine as light in the darkness. People don't see us as followers of Christ. People don't see us as that light. We're going to blend in with the world around us. Another way we can fail to take advantage of our position is by surrendering to our enemies. We talked about that this city that is set on a hill is going to be targeted. That we are going to be targeted for attacks because we are different from the world. We're following a different standard. We are in this position where we are highly visible. We could surrender our position by surrendering to our enemies, by refusing to fight. As Jude verse 3 talks about how we are to contend earnestly for the faith. And we say, well, no, we don't want to contend. We don't want to do battle. We don't want to be involved in that type of struggle or in that type of fight. We're not going to oppose error or false teaching or anything like that. We just want to stand back. We don't want to do that. We're going to give up. We're going to surrender. Could also be done, we've studied recently in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2, we could surrender our position, we could give in to our enemies by not just refusing to fight, but by actually joining forces with them. It mentions in Galatians chapter 2 that there are false brethren that Paul talked about. It was because of false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage, but we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Paul had to oppose them, but these ones here, he's describing as false brethren. These are ones now who are no longer following Christ, but now they have joined to the side of the enemy. They are doing the work of Satan. They are the ones who are trying to destroy the work of God, trying to destroy the church, trying to destroy Christians. We can surrender to the enemy, not just by refusing to fight, but by actually opposing the things of God and the people of God. We can also not take advantage of our position by letting down our defenses. That city that is set on a hill, it has an advantage because it is on higher ground. But that doesn't mean that that city could never fall. And that city could never be attacked and could never be overcome. They still have to set out a guard. They still have to build up the walls or repair the walls when they get damaged. They still have to man the watchtower and make sure that they're aware when opposing armies are coming. They still have to do all of those things. Despite the advantage that they have of being in an elevated position and being a city that is set on a hill, we could let down our defenses and still be overcome. We could still be defeated. So how do we let down our defenses? We can do that. We can weaken our position by failing to assemble with the saints when we have the opportunities to do that, when the church comes together. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 talks about not forsaking our assembling together. Why do we assemble? Why do we come together? Besides just the fact that God expects us to, that we're part of the body comes together. It mentions in that verse, verses 24 and 25 together, that we encourage one another. We're strengthening one another. And so if we're forsaking the assembly, not only could we say that we're letting down our brethren, and we're failing to assemble when God wants us to assemble, we're also hurting ourselves because we're not allowing our defenses to be strengthened. This encouragement that we need to face the challenges and to face the attacks and to face the hardships that we're going to face throughout the week, we're neglecting all of that. And so we can weaken our defenses by forsaking the assembly. We can weaken our defenses by neglecting our study of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a verse that we should be familiar with, talks about how we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The Scriptures have been given to us so that we can know what we are to do, so that we can gain encouragement from the promises that God has given, the assurances that He has in there that He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. We can recognize error when it comes upon us. We can see the attacks that are made against the truth. But we have to be studying the Scriptures. And if we are neglecting our study of the Scriptures, then we are allowing our defenses to become weakened. We can also be in a weaker position by not being on the alert, by not paying attention to when attacks are going to come. You have these cities that are set up. You still have people who are watching. You still have guards that are out there seeing what attacks are coming, so that the defenses, those who are defending the city, can be ready. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." We have to be on the alert. When we are not on the alert, that's when we are at a disadvantage. That's when we are vulnerable. If we let down our defenses, then we are not taking advantage of the position that we are in this city that is set up on a hill. This city that is on a hill is in a position of strength, but we can lose all the advantages that come from that by not taking advantage of the things we've talked about, by not shining as a light in the darkness, by surrendering to the enemy, and by letting down our defenses. So what we need to do then, if we recognize that Jesus said to his disciples, "You are as a city that is set on a hill." This is who you are if you follow me. You're a city that is set on a hill. There are advantages that come. There's also challenges that come with that. But you are in this position of strength if you follow me. If you are one of my disciples, you are in this position of strength. We cannot take advantage of that, and that's going to hurt us. Or we could recognize that we are in this position of strength. And so what we need to do, because we are visible, because we will be targeted, we need to work to strengthen our position. And so how do we go about strengthening our position as this city that is set on a hill? With this city that is in the darkness, you are the light of the world. We need to brighten our light. Make our light shine even brighter than we have before. This is talking about our example, how we conduct ourselves in the world. And Paul said over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "You will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world." You are lights in the world. And we could say, just as Paul was able to say there in the first century, that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The world around us is wicked and is corrupt. There's darkness all around us. That was true when Paul wrote the book to the Philippians. The same is true for us today. And so what he says here, you appear as lights in the world. So what we are to do then as lights in the world is not just, well, be better than the world around you. It's not about just being better than the world around us. We can be better than the world around us and still not be what God wants us to be. Don't just be better. Instead, he says, be blameless and innocent. Be above reproach as the children of God. We are to put sin out of our life, not just sin less than the world around us, but work to remove sin from our life, that we are above reproach, blameless and innocent. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." One of these attacks that we've talked about will be those who will say that you are just doing what is evil. They will slander you as, slander you as evildoers. Well, if we are just living better than the world is and sinning less than the world is, we're still going to have those sins that it will be apparent. May not be as much as the world is doing around us, but we will still have those sins that are apparent. Keep your behavior excellent so that way when they're looking for those sins, may be fewer than those around you are committing, but they're looking for them. Don't give them those opportunities. It doesn't mean that we're always going to be perfect. But it does mean we are striving to be perfect. Matthew 5 and verse 48, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's what our goal is. That's what we're striving for. And so as much as possible, don't give the enemy any ammunition. Don't give them anything that where they can say, well, look, you've done this, or you say that this is wrong, but look at what you did over here. As much as possible, continue to brighten your light in the world that you are shining by being blameless and innocent and above reproach. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The more we are able to do that, the stronger we will be in this position as a city that is set on a hill. Another way we can strengthen our position is simply by being involved in the fight against the forces of wickedness, the forces of evil that are against us. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life to which you were called and which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight this good fight. James promised in James 4 verse 7 that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. It doesn't mean he's going to be gone forever, but if you put up a fight, if you resist the devil, he's going to go and look for an easier target. He's going to look, find someone else, and then once he thinks that you are in a position where you are vulnerable, then he'll come back. But resist the devil. Fight the good fight. It's not always going to be easy. We are going to face difficulties. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. We're going to suffer. It's going to be difficult. But continue fighting. Continue to resist the devil. And if we will do this, and we will continue doing this until the end, we have the assurance, as Paul explained it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that we will be rewarded. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. This is a promise that we have. If we continue, if we are faithful, if we fight until the end, we have this reward that is promised. So we can strengthen our position by continuing to fight. And then also, if you look over in Ephesians chapter 6, we can strengthen our position by putting on the full armor of God. We've talked about already the fact that we have, as a city set on a hill, we have a solid foundation. We are built upon the words and the promises of Christ. But then over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul described the armor of God. Put on the armor of God so that you will be in a stronger position, so that you will be able to resist. He says in verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up this armor to attack and to defend. But notice in all of these that he mentions here, the truth and righteousness and the gospel and faith and salvation, the Word of God, all of that is rooted in the Word of God. Truth is found in the Word of God. Righteousness is revealed in the Word of God. The gospel is the good news that comes from God, is revealed to us in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Salvation is by following the words of Christ. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So our use of this armor and our ability to take advantage of this armor that has been given to us that we are to put on is based upon how well we know the Scriptures and how well we can use the Scriptures. And so we have to, if we put on the full armor of God, this is implied in this is that you need to know the Scriptures. You need to know the Word of God, to know how to use the Word of God. And ultimately, we need to remember that because this is from Him, Ultimately, our strength is from the Lord. Verse 10 of this chapter of Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Put on this armor, you will be able to stand firm, but you are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Ultimately, our strength is from the Lord. And so if we follow Him and follow His word and put on the armor that He provides for us, we are going to strengthen our position and be better equipped to face all the things that are against us. So as we think about what Jesus said here, Matthew 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." As Christians, we are this city that is set on a hill. We are going to be seen by others. We're going to be noticed. We're going to be the targets of attack. But we also have strength from the Lord. We have a foundation that is found in Him. So because of that, let's continue to let our light shine. Continue to fight for the Lord. Not surrender our position. Not give up, but continue to be faithful to Him. So we close the lesson. We want to invite anyone who has not yet become a Christian to do so. You can take advantage of the words and promises of God and position of strength that He offers by becoming a disciple, by believing that He is the Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and then being baptized to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have not been faithful, you've allowed sin into your life, you need to repent of that. Pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.